I want to take on this mind-expanding journey on love and loss. Your mom's, my mom's like big fat Greek
wedding fucks. Yeah, exactly.
That's so funny.
Exactly.
Well, my big fat Greek wedding, welcome to our big fat Cuban podcast. Hey. It's the Guantanamo Bay's podcast.
A Cuban cousin Kiki.
I am Brian Bogart.
And I'm Julian Goza.
We are two motherfucking Cuban cousins Yeah.
I guess Wepa's more Puerto Rican.
Órale. What do the Spanish DJs say? What's like a very
I don't know. It's been years since I went to a quinceañera, yeah. But there was a wedding DJ in my hometown that like made all the rounds at the quinceañeras, and his name was Beachy Sound.
Wow.
And he was good.
Yeah.
You're talking Black Eyed Peas, Gwen Stefani.
Yeah.
And then, like, Village People.
It's just so funny, like, thinking of, like, these, like, Catholic, like, largely Mexican kids celebrating their quinceañera being like, Mazel Tov, L'chaim, like, to the Black Eyed Peas song. It was different.
Well, but it's not about mitzvah. It was a quinceañera.
No, but they were still, they would sing that Black Eyed Peas song. Oh, when
it's like, what's in my cup?
Drink.
Mazel Tov,
L'chaim. That's what I'm talking about.
That's
funny. We were all Jewish in 2008, baby.
I mean, maybe I still am.
Yeah. I was actually on the Wikipedia page.
I told you, the
page.
Jews are like the superior race.
Yeah.
Is that a hot
take? That's why everyone's mad at them.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, they're just like indexically good at everything they do. And they shaped my whole worldview through like pop culture.
Yeah, no. Point Jews.
Also, Rhea Perlman in Barbie.
I know.
One of my highlights.
My buddy Dan Katan, Jewish friend. He was like, saw Barbie. My one takeaway was a Jewish woman invented Barbie. I was like, and that's a great takeaway.
Yeah.
It was good to see Rhea Perlman.
I know. I always love seeing her.
Yeah.
She looked snatched.
Yeah, she did.
I'm like, enjoy that Matilda money, honey.
Yeah, she's not going
wherever
anywhere.
She's getting checks.
No, and it's funny. Like, Danny DeVito's the lecher between the two of them, but she's the one keeping it tight, if you ask me.
In terms of finances? Oh, you mean physically?
He's the lecher?
No, I mean, when you say keeping it tight,
yeah.
What do you mean?
Like, she looked great.
She looked great.
Yeah, and Danny
physically
DeVito.
Physically keeping it tight.
Yeah, that's
what yeah. I mean. Yeah, they're an interesting... Are they still together?
They are. They, like, had some marriage problems, you know, when Danny DeVito was getting his second wave with It's Always Sunny.
Yeah. And, they could be a Cuban couple if you look at them.
Yes.
I'd be like, that's yeah, he's dying, Bernie.
I see him with a fedora. I see him with a cigar. He dresses like a Cuban in so many of his fucking movies.
Totally.
Every time he's playing like a sleazy businessman, which is a lot of his roles in the 80s and 90s.
Twins with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's what I'm thinking. Matilda.
Those suits...
Yeah.
That's like, they were like cream colored.
That's some
so Cuban.
Zoot suit shit
that
right
some
there.
Some zoot, shoot, zoot yeah. shoot shit.
Yeah. And Ray's just the Jewish grandmother that we all, you know and love. You know, that's our 100%. Abuela. That's our abuela bubby.
100%.
Our bubuela.
Aw.
I was going down the rabbit hole of the Wikipedia page of like famous Cuban Jewish people and like the Jewish diaspora.
Jubins.
Yeah, Jubins. There was no official Wikipedia designation for Jubins, which I'm like, okay, I got to create this page now.
Yeah, you should.
But
it's Wiki. They'll let you do whatever they want. Exactly. They let you do whatever when
it's
you're
like
a star
half step
on
above
Wiki.
Urban Dictionary. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. We got to do a whole episode on Jubins one of these days.
That'd be fun. I can't think of any famous Jubins.
There's
a
list.
That was a Jubin.
There's a list.
Very good-looking teacher.
Oh,
that
well.
Was a Jubin.
Once again, two superior races that you just mixed together. Of
they
course.
Become a transformer of hotness.
Well, we're talking about Cuba already. Shall we go down and start talking about news from the
Take
motherland?
Me there. Let's cross the Gulf. Just a stone's throw away.
Guys, here's the freaking deal, okay? Me and Julian, our mothers are from Cuba. And that's a thing. And you just got to accept that. So every
that's why
week,
it's news from the motherland.
Right. It is our mother's land. So every week, Julian, or we present each other really an article of what's happening in Cuba just to keep us abreast.
But I brought in both this week.
Julian was carrying the weight. So you have two articles for us. What do you want to talk about first?
I was ready to talk about the rice farmers, the great exodus of rice farmers, specifically Vietnamese rice farmers from Sancti Spiritus.
Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit, for those keeping score
yes.
at home.
Also a great movie.
Really? That sounds like Antonio Banderas would star in it.
No, but it was like late 80s. I think it's a Spanish movie. Anyway, very vividly beautiful. Listeners, check it out. Mm-hmm. But this has nothing to do with that movie.
It strikes me as like a almost like a Tarantino vampire thriller. Like that's kind of, I go to Once Upon a Time.
It's like Cinema Paradiso, uh-huh. but like yeah, yeah. more vampire-like.
Oh, so there are vampiric overtones.
Well, no.
It sounds like I really just have to see this movie.
More like vampiric undertones.
Okay. Oh, sorry, undertones, not overtones.
There's a difference.
There is a difference. Fine. Okay, so tell us about what happened with the rice farmers.
So because this has been such a complicated start and stop economically speaking, from the Vietnamese perspective in Cuba, a lot of them fled.
So what happened here? And I'll read kind of the first kind of the headline and subheadline. So with the withdrawal of Vietnamese experts who are working in Cuba, the lack of rain and the fuel crisis, an ongoing fuel crisis in Cuba, the whole agricultural sector is in crisis. So there are Vietnamese technicians. Worth noting, Vietnam and Cuba, kind of sister countries.
Sure.
My mom told me when she was growing up that, you know, obviously they were both under the thumb of the Soviet Union during the Cold War. So people in Cuba were saying like, hey, look at our sister nation of Vietnam. Like they're kind of doing their version in Asia of
what
we want to do.
And they're being carpet bombed by the U.S.
Right. Well, it's easy bedfellows to make. And, you know, while Vietnam's doing their communist mission in Asia, we're doing our communist mission in Latin America against American oppression, et cetera, et cetera. And so the ironic part now that, like, my girlfriend is from Vietnam. And so, like, that was one of the first things mom told me is, like, you know, Vietnam was, like, our sister nation growing up. And I didn't know that. So
that's cool.
There's still a lot of overlap. There's still a lot of commerce and, like, partnership and trade between
them. Have you and Hong ever talked about that at length? That are like her experiences as a Vietnamese person versus yours as a Cuban American? Like
how
that overlaps, kind of like living in the shadow of the Soviet Union?
Well, yeah. And, you know, with Hong, it's different because she's born in Vietnam. She was subjected to, like, the way that she puts it was, she's like, I was such a good communist, babe. Because she was in schools.
She'd be a great communist.
In schools in Vietnam, they really value, like, memorization and obedience. And she was good at those things. Like, she was an A student. She came to the U.S. and they're like.
Yeah, she doesn't like when I be out here breaking rules, Brian. I see her sweat when I speed up at a yellow light. She hates that shit.
Oh, my God. And then she came to the U.S. where the learning is more like tactile and open-minded and about like thinking and like problem solving. And she's like, okay, this is not that she's not good at problem solving. She's a great problem solver, but.
Oh, that's interesting that you'd think the emphasis would be there, not like doing whatever you want.
Well, that's
it's like, I don't want to problem solve, motherfucker, you know?
Yeah.
Cause I don't,
but it was just like, she grew up in two distinctly different educational styles and she moved in like a very formative period too.
Right. Whereas you didn't need to assimilate in a way that she did.
No. Like, and I obviously I'm like the most white passing person who ever existed. So people were never looking at me like that Cuban kid.
Whereas me, Brian, I'm followed around in department stores. Cops are, no, I'm just kidding. Although sometimes I feel like maybe sometimes people treat me kind of like, meh, cause I just look kind of swarthy.
Mildly swarthier.
You think, well, a bit swarthier than you.
Well, a lot swarthier than me, but everyone, Trina's more swarthier than me. And she's, she's the palest person that ever did exist, but I might be. Trina, that's not
don't
personal.
Don't be like putting her on this scale.
I'm not putting you. I'm sorry, Trina. Forget I mentioned anything.
Let's walk out of here, Trina. No.
Yeah. Please keep white blonde women employed, by the way. Book your next podcast session at the Deaf Noodles Comedy Club.
Yeah. They really do it up out here.
Yeah.
But we're losing the thread again, Brian.
Per usual.
So one other reason, and it's worth noting this, that the Vietnamese technicians left is because now the government has placed consumption limits for the farmers. They've started adding these regulations where like farmers can only keep so many.
Yes.
And the thing is, that's not just for the farmers' families. They then turn around and sell that directly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're cutting off a lot of streams of income for these already like very down and out farmers.
This is straight from the Stalin playbook, the Mao playbook. This is how they manufactured.
I hope you're listening, Jordan David.
We don't have to bring Jordan into this, but this is the manufactured famine.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, famines were manufactured by a lot of these. By a lot of these communist projects that came around the 20th century. Cuba was an offshoot of that, like this iteration of the Cuban government. And they're literally doing it right now to their own farmers.
Yeah.
So even though America did this to our farmers at the same time and squeezed out a lot of family farms, and the vast majority of farming in America is like controlled by the government, at least there was no real lapse where the country was not getting fed.
Right.
We still struggle with food insecurity.
That farmers were in a position where they had to sell around, just turn around and like sell crops directly.
Yes. Yes. So America, obviously, like we have our own issues with food security, but not nearly to the extent that a lot of these countries that manufacture these famines where millions have died.
And one big product that they make this rice with is cereal.
Mm.
And that shook my American ass mind. I was like, you know, y'all don't use corn.
Yeah.
What about corn?
They're great. So what's happened? So, all right. So the Vietnamese techs are leaving. And where does that leave Cuba? Where does that leave the rice farmers? Doesn't seem to be in a good spot.
Well, yeah. Do they have the option of quitting? You know?
No. I'll tell you right now.
It's like a feudal state.
Yeah. What would they do? You know, if they did quit, first of all, what is quitting when your job is like a government subsidized farmer?
Right.
And then even if you quit, like, is there work for you? I don't know the answer to that. There could be, but yeah, I mean, it's...
And the formula for arriving at the total number of sacks each farmer can keep is not simple and raises suspicion. So they take into account whether the producer has met the cereal production targets, whether there have been previous complaints that they diverted part of the harvest mm-hmm. to the informal market.
Yeah.
So it just, once again, it's like who's arbitrating the arbitrators, bruh?
And I'm not exactly, like, once again, it's the monopoly on... food, the monopoly on information, the monopoly
on... And, like,
on...
the free market terrifies me, but, like, that does seem like a better alternative.
Yeah.
And, again, they're in a particular position where they have been starved out through the embargo and everything. Mm-hmm. So we're lucky that we're not in that position.
And I don't know, like, where this is happening regionally. Traditionally, whenever there's been, like, man-made famines or, like, this kind of control on a farmer's production, it always seems to affect the most dissenting regions the most. It always seems to be the people who are most resistant to the government that are starving and dying. Coincidentally, right?
Well, don't you think there's also something geographical to that? It's like they're not growing corn right outside New York City, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, in the cases that I'm citing, like these other man-made like famines, no, those places were eating, you know, before the government started controlling the farming sector, and then all of a sudden... you couldn't get food to where there were the most like kind of vocally opposed, you know, to the regions that were most opposed to the government.
Yeah.
And here we motherfucking are, which actually, I believe.
That's a good segue.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Next story.
I see what you're doing.
Next motherfucking story from the motherland of Cuba. Go ahead.
Oh, you want me to do
it's
this
yours,
one
bitch?
Too?
Yeah, you brought them both. All right.
I'm exhausted, Brian. I give and I give.
God. I've only done 70% of the
talking. My back hurts.
You're exhausted, right? Okay, so here's the next article. It is from oncubanews.com.
Yes.
The headline is Bankerization in Cuba. What's hurt in the street? In tune with experts or with their own reasons, many Cubans do not hide their concern and distrust with the recently announced measures Cuba attempting to move primarily to a digital form of payment and currency. All money is now through QR codes, kind of in the style of like a lot of crypto projects.
All money?
It seems like they're moving away from cash or attempting to
entirely?
Move away from cash. That, I don't know if it's entirely, but...
I mean, how would they even be able to do that?
Here's the first paragraph. You gave me this article, by the way.
Well, because you understand bankerization more than I do. I didn't even know that was a term.
Based on what? That my dad's half Jewish?
You're in sales. I don't know. You talk about
money.
You talk about money.
Okay, all right.
I don't talk about money, Brian.
I just find articles about it.
Just meet sugar daddies.
Here's the first... We'll see what we can glean from reading the first paragraph. All right. More than a week has passed since the Central Bank of Cuba announced a group of actions to promote a bankerization. Bankerization just being the increased...
digitalization of the banking system?
Yeah, well, that could be a form of bankerization, but just the growth of the banking sector. And, you know, banking can get very complicated. Like, look how complex the American and global financial system is.
I don't follow it.
That's all... Exactly. That's all through a series of, like... measures that you would call bankerization.
I see.
You know, so it's like we're making this bankerized.
So they're introducing this to Cuba, which was an analog cash-only country?
So, promote bankerization and the use of electronic channels on the island, as well as the publication of the controversial Resolution 111-2023 that, among other novelties, sets the maximum limit for cash operations of all economic actors, both state and private, at 5,000 Cuban pesos. So that means that you can only have so much cash on you or withdraw so much cash at a time. You know, if you have all your assets in a bank, you can't get all, you can only get 5,000 Cuban pesos.
Well, in that economy, what are they going to use more than 5,000 pesos for? I imagine that's a way of like cutting out insidious activity, isn't it? And also, wait a minute, state officials, this also bars state officials.
Are you simping for this policy now?
I don't know. I don't know yet. We're talking this out. That's why I'd be a good president, Brian. I would straddle that center line so fucking hard, like a mechanical bull, honey. But, fuck, where was I going with this? The bankerization is a word.
Okay, cutting out nefarious activity.
Yeah, like, so state officials also can't take out more than 5,000, right? Which, like,
probably not
see it.
Technically, but has that ever stopped state officials before? Just because they weren't on paper allowed to do something.
I mean, I don't know how rich state officials are in Cuba.
Well, in a lot of, and I don't, you know, I don't know how rich they are. Obviously, I think bare minimum, they're extremely
influential. They're not living in squalor. Yeah.
They're very influential and they're the monolith. I mean, they are the monopoly. So even if you have a lower level government job, that's probably better than most jobs that are available. You know, that's one thing that a lot of countries, like in the, okay, example, the Philippines, I had a coworker, you know, cause I work globally and we have like workers in the Philippines. One of them, her uncle was like running for mayor of like a local city.
One of them had a rooster in the background every time I would hear her make a call when I worked for your
Chris.
Company. No, it wasn't Chris. Oh, okay. She was like, oh, I don't remember her name.
Okay. Rose or something.
Rose. I think it was Rose. Had a full on fucking rooster outside.
Jillian,
I worked
with some of these fine Filipino ladies and gentlemen.
But so, I was like, it's 4 a.m. over there. That makes sense. The rooster's calling.
One of them was a sales admin and you know, she was kind of newer. And then, you know, we were just talking a little bit. And then I was like, oh, you know, what are your plans? Or, you know, it was like a friend of mine had this conversation with her. And then she's like, oh, well, my uncle's running for like mayor or like so-and-so of this parliament. So if he gets elected, I'll just quit and I'll be able to like.
Well, the Philippines isn't exactly like a communist country like Cuba, though.
But it's also, you know, the government is kind of the monopoly.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't think that's like a fair corollary.
Okay. Fair. But I will say common trait in a lot of Latin American countries, Venezuela is a good example, mm-hmm. Argentina is a good example, is that, yeah, if you have a government job.
They said Articina.
You could put me on
blast.
I was
like, you can't call it that anymore, Brian.
No, but if you get a government job, like, you're pretty set.
Pedro Pascal is Chilean.
Yeah.
He looks like a politician.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just trying to reinforce this
wacky all that
theory.
To say, I'll bet being a politician in Cuba is one of the better jobs you can get there.
Yeah, because I know people in the private sector aren't making any fucking money, so how could it not?
Well, the people in the private sector in Cuba are the only ones making money. Cuba just created a very small private sector recently. You can have up to...
Oh, really?
We talked about this.
Yeah,
because,
yeah, they can't... Yeah, they wouldn't have LLCs or anything.
Well, now they just allow them to.
Yeah, which is
cool. The Cuban equivalent of an LLC. LLC.
But, so you're not pro-bankerization then? Obviously, there are reasons to be suspicious. I mean, digital banking.
Yeah, there's reasons
sucks.
To be suspicious.
But I love also, tapping my debit card, Brian.
And also, I don't like it when you kind of like impose limits on people not being able to own, like have what they own. You know, if you own this shit, it's in a bank, and you're saying, well, you can't take all that stuff out that you own. Well, fuck you. It's mine.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so
I see your frustration. but you didn't hear me. I like the tap on the card. That's my favorite thing about digital banking. And my dad, God bless him, my dad just visited California from Texas and was like trying to insert the card and everything. And I was like, no, dad, like here you just tap it.
Yeah.
Just tap like, it. None of this swipe.
You're like, QR codes are easy and tapping the card is nice. So I like bankerization.
Yeah. And Cubans love to tap it. This one certainly does.
Yeah. We're a tapping group of people.
Yeah. I don't know really what to make of all the digitization, but I wish them well. So what's our next segment, Brian? We've already been to Cuba. Where else do we want to go?
I think it's time to go to the world according to Jules.
That's the kind of world I want to live in.
This is where I read Julian a headline of a story that came from the news, and he has to give me his totally condensed, no filtered thoughts into the story. Are you ready? Do you accept this mission?
Yeah,
I want no filter.
I accepted it long ago.
Okay.
I accepted it the day I said I love you, Brian.
So, your first headline comes from CNN.
Heard of her.
All right. Iraq, or Iraq. For
Thank
my,
you.
Yeah, I know. Iraq switches off electronic billboards after hacker broadcasts porn to Baghdad passersby. Your thoughts?
Fuck yeah. Fuck it up, brother. And I know sometimes I'm like, well, I don't want to bring my gayness to like Muslim countries. Cause like, you know, I was in the closet when I went to Jordan and Egypt. So I kind of want to like come at them with my like fucking pride content on my Instagram, you know, and that, all that energy. But also like I'm super down for, a sexually positive, culture because that's my framework. And maybe in a way it's an extension of colonialism and like imperialism, like the American tech community and what they've done. I mean, just like this like godless advertising hellscape that we're caught in. That is an extension of it. But if you draw a line in the sand and ask me what side I'm on, I'm pro porn. But I love a morning call to prayer.
Time.
Talk about drama.
You know what I wanted to know that the article does not mention is what kind of porn it was. It just said it was X-rated. I want to know.
There's no way it was gay porn, Brian.
No, probably not.
Not even in this liberal ass country could you drive down the freeway and a hacker put on gay porn.
But I'm
porn.
Like, demographically, was it like Muslim porn? You know, like, was it local?
What, like she's wearing a hijab and he's going, like, what are you talking
or
about?
Or just like, was it localized porn? Was it
I doubt
Western
it.
Porn?
As someone that looks for like Middle Eastern produced porn, it's hard to find, homie. It's hard to find. And they say they're Middle Eastern, but half the time it's like filmed in Sri Lanka or something. And I'm like, that's not the Middle East.
That's why I think like it'd almost be more surreal if you like have like American porn stars like on these billboards.
I know people would be like, I knew it. I knew they were all porn stars. Yeah, Coca-Cola.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, from my perspective, I'm just like so icked by like the, again, like advertising, like pseudo pornographic hell space that we're caught in, that it's a fine line between like an ad for Jergens or, well, that's actually a pretty, pretty neat line, but like, you know.
It's like a Banksy installation, right? That you would turn this commercialized billboard into like porn and then somehow be like, show me the difference. You know, like we're all just like consumers of this. I mean, you nailed it. Digitalized like advertising hellscape. I mean, that's a global thing now.
It's just a global thing.
Yeah.
And I've told you like all the thirst traps that my explore page now shows, it's like they're like fully Muslim, like wearing, you know, like particular attire and everything, and they're posting thirst traps.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. And so it's, I don't think this will bring, I don't know. Anyway, I'm
well, this
not
gonna. I don't know if anything's gonna come of it, but I just like, how do you feel the average person walking on the street in Baghdad felt when they saw, when they looked up and just saw?
I don't know. I don't know how easily accessible porn is there.
An arrest has been made.
I do worry about the children, and I worry about the children here in the U.S. too. I saw porn for the first time when I was like in the sixth grade, Brian. I mean, that is why I'm a sexual BPD maniac out on the streets.
Yeah.
Sixth grade?
Like like Skinamax softcore?
No, Brian. Like full frontal, like photos of porn stars when I was like 11 years old.
Yeah.
And I stand before you, a broken ass.
I'm like
woman.
Mildly dissent. I'm like, do I even bring this up? Just because my dad had a Playboy subscription growing up.
Oh, that's so old school. I love that. That's
yeah,
so
there's
like
a novelty to it, but
like,
I still
that's what
grew
my dad
up.
Was doing was like, oh, we got dad's magazine.
Yeah, I know. But also when you're like literally like growing up, all my friends, like, how do I normalize this thing that when all my friends came, they're like, oh my God, you just have Playboys lying around? I'm like, yeah, that's my dad's.
It's not like it's Hustler or like Penthouse.
I was so scared to
touch Playboy's like literature. Like it reads like a New Yorker.
But in like a pre-internet porn era and you're an adolescent, that's all you have.
That wasn't a pre-porn era is what I'm telling you as someone that's born 10 days after you. It wasn't a pre-porn. And I had a particular friend that was like, see this? And I was like, oh my God.
I did not have the computer or internet access that you did, I guess, in that time.
Well, and I was caught looking at internet porn. I've told you this when I was like in the seventh grade or eighth grade.
Tell me the story.
And they installed software on my computer because I had my own desktop. Mm. It was called NetNanny. And it blocked me from
You've been
seeing
very
it.
Naughty. Time for time out.
I think I figured out a way to like, you know, not store cookies or whatever. It was like an incognito version of the web browser.
You got smarter than NetNanny?
Yeah. Dumb like, British bitch.
You found a way to
voted
sneak out.
Voted for Thatcher.
You found a way to sneak out through the window, you know, like... You know, do the Ferris Bueller thing where, like, when she opens the door, like, a little doll of you, like...
Yeah, it's like with a recording. Yeah. Sorry, can't come to the door. I'm sick.
Oh, just leave it at the door. Thank you. She says something.
And yeah, exactly. That
you. Oh, no, it was last Tuesday. She's like, wait a minute. That's not right.
Yeah, but that's a loaded question. I don't know where I stand about, like, but I don't want them to show pornography to Muslim children, but maybe Muslim adults. Next question.
Or just.
That's fucked up.
That's the best takeaway. No, just don't show porn to any children. Let them be kids.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
In a way that I was never allowed to.
But grow up, you prude. You know, after a while, just embrace it.
But I don't want to violate anyone's religious beliefs. Ideology either. Mm-hmm. And anyway, it's not like the porn ban is directly correlative to them making women secondary citizens. Like, you know what I mean?
No.
Unless they're fear around it. Anyway,
I feel like they're in each, those two things are in each other's orbit, even though there's not like a necessary correlation. Or
I mean,
Venn
maybe
diagram.
It does radicalize people, you know, in a way that we wouldn't want as
without
a Western,
porn, women
whatever,
would not be
things.
Allowed to work in America. I feel like that's definitely, you know, the advent of porn in America definitely opened up all these gateways.
That's interesting.
I'm bullshitting.
Yeah, dovetailed with like the women's lib movement. Maybe
I am bullshitting, but that is relevant.
Yeah.
You know, sexual liberation, that was
I mean, women in any workplace, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And porn was becoming more produced, and I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was just porn. I think
no,
it was also
not.
Like banking.
No, I was like mostly kidding.
The
and then
pornier
I was like,
industry.
And then the more I thought about it, I was like, oh, I'm right, actually. Yeah, I'm super smart. Mm. Okay, your next
headline.
Next headline in the world, according to Jules, plant-based filter removes up to 99.9% of microplastics from water. Some good news for once. Your thoughts?
Just for like a minute. You know, I'm a little water baby. I will pick plastic from the beach and put it in my pocket. All my pockets when I go in the water have Velcro, so the plastic in my pockets doesn't float out into the ocean. And Hong, your girlfriend, was very sweet and noticed that I pick up trash and was like, oh my God, Julian, like, thank you for doing that. And I was like, Hong, this is aesthetic. Like, I'm a climate change denier, as you know, Brian. Like, I worry.
Stop, you got to stop saying that so often and so loud.
Where was the tropical storm this week, homie? But hold on. Let me go back to this. But microplastics terrify the shit out of me. I, like, feel it in my body. Like, every morning when I wake up, like, a ball of rice pudding, I'm like, oh, it's because, like, there's, like, one of those, like, six-pack beer plastic things just, like, sitting in my lower intestine. And it fucking scares me. And so I'm super down for this. And also, someone else made a thing that dissolves plastic in water, and so you have to wonder why this isn't like a $1 billion idea like out the gate, because are there commercial interests fighting this? I don't know.
I mean, you know, I'm sure that there's, you know, it depends. Like, there's one thing from like kind of experimenting and pulling off an experiment to making it, to scaling it and making it commercially viable. So it's like, you know, theoretically they have something that works. How do you manufacture it and scale it? I'm not sure. You know, I don't know all the specifics behind this, but it is a great advent. It is definitely something that we all want to see. Also, I feel like they just threw in plant-based filter, just like appeal to the LA cucks who are just like, oh, it's an organic filter that's removing the microplastics.
I mean,
could you say a more liberal sentence?
Well, yeah, plastic filter removes up to 99.9% of microplastics from water. It just wouldn't work. Like, I hope it's plant-based. I hope it's something that isn't synthetic. Yeah. No shit.
Is it also keto?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
I'm sorry that you're bothered by the fact I say I'm a climate change denier. I think it's a fun thing to shout at a party. And
are
again,
you? Okay.
How can you record years and years, millennia of weather? You can't.
Oh, my God.
But maybe everything will. I don't doubt that the climate will change, but you have to wonder if it's just part of this larger regenerative process for the Earth that we, frankly, have nothing to do with. And that's what people don't want to hear. Is that humans don't factor into it at all.
If we weren't so short on time, we need to just have a whole episode dedicated to climate change where we could really address
my dumb
this.
Ass?
Yes.
All right.
Pretty much.
All right. Well, this is no schooling on the next segment. But there is some singing. There is some singing.
Why? Because it's
boogie, boogie, bum, bum.
One more.
Boogie, 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 bum, bum.
Hell yeah. We were so in sync on that.
Because in a way that, like, we weren't in sync over climate change. So I sent you this delectable video of Jill Zarin. I don't watch The Housewives. That's
so
another problematic thing about me.
Yeah, that's the least gay thing about you is that you don't
I know.
Watch
I lose so many points on that.
I don't either. I didn't know who this person was. I just like saw this. Like, you sent me this video and I was like, oh, well, this is a trashy lady. So I guess let's just go ahead and roll
this
clip.
But she's a trashy rich lady. Roll it, Trina.
because you can't buy class.
So I've smuggled in my Diet Coke from the United States because they don't sell it in Europe. They only have Coke Light and Coke Zero, and it sucks. But I think one exploded. Not surprised.
She literally packs a suitcase of Diet Coke. I'm a little nervous if it's going to explode. I'm ready. Oh, my God. Oh, they made it.
Well, there's one broken.
Wow. Where?
I feel it.
That's come good out. For now, right?
Alright, do you want them all to come out now? Only
is there anything
Jill
else that
Zarin
happens?
Would bring nope. a suitcase.
Okay, just more close-ups of Diet Coke bottles.
I think it was there. She found one other exploded Diet Coke can in the suitcase.
Okay.
But so to explain to our listeners, this is the segment where Brian and I will talk about a headline. We're using that term loosely in this case.
yeah, I don't know what the headline is here.
So not really a headline, but it's just a
besides
fun little...
trashy lady visits Europe.
Well, a Real Housewife. That trashy lady is a Real Housewife.
Once again, that's redundant.
Right.
Yeah.
But so then I read Brian the headline, and then he has to tell me what song this reminds him of.
And I have the song.
You have the song ready?
Ready
play
and
it.
Cute. All right.
And then I'll play mine. Is.
All right.
Fight for what's right. Okay. I see, because she's an American bringing Diet Coke that's not a European product and, like, carrying her culture and her values with her across the pond.
So, yeah, that's, okay, fine.
After I said that, I was like, if he has anything to disagree with about what I just
if
said.
You wanted to, if you want to do the poor man's version of it, sure. My explanation, well, okay, so you're 100% right to all that stuff. I see, so, you know, it's funny because she's complaining, like, they don't allow Diet Coke in Europe, or like they don't have any Diet Coke or Coke Zero, because Europe has laws that have been in place for hundreds of years to constitute what is food and what is not food.
Is it aspartame that's on their shit list?
Because
someone ruled
anything.
Recently that wasn't that bad for you. And she looks good. As like, I've always thought the reason why I've just been like chronically obese my whole life is because I drank 5 Diet Cokes a day when I was like 10 years old. But this bitch
I will
is
say
doing it and
one
she
of,
looks great.
Yeah, but she's also, rich. You know, like she's seen more knives than a Benihana on her face, I'll bet. And her body.
Seen more what?
Knives than a Benihana.
Okay. God, that's a grotesque expression.
It's an old Joan Rivers joke. If you disagree with that, you disagree with
but
the
Brian, you haven't had plastic surgery. Just don't say it. That's a Joan Rivers. Just leave it to Joan.
Oh, my God. We can't make fun of people. You can make fun of people who have plastic surgery because it's elective.
But comparing it to Benihana,
make fun of, you can
I'm
make,
trying to go, honey. I'm craving a
you can make fun of people for their choices. Dinner. Okay. You can make fun of people for their choices. She chose to... One of the best quotes Donald Trump ever had, I've never seen anyone skinny who drinks Diet Coke.
He drinks Diet, he loves Diet Coke.
And he's not skinny.
Okay, so we love that facet of him that's like apparently-
That self-awareness?
That's that like one strand of self-awareness that dumb motherfucker
has. He's
got
more than people admit, but it's like the character he plays, you know, for his public persona.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll get to him not in a year, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh my God.
But this is my song.
I'm not looking forward to the Trump talk.
This is my song. You know it.
I know it. Firework.
The reason being those Diet Cokes, some of them exploded in the sky like a
firework.
So it
was a firework.
Mm-hmm. And it is also patriotic. That's a patriotic undertone.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that sounded like an overtone to me.
You think so? Well, yeah, it's about the 4th of
July. 4th of July, you're a firework. Show me the under part of that.
I remember people were like fatigued by that song around 2013 and it was 4th of July and I played that and some girl was like, oh my God, I can't stand this song. And I was like, bitch.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know you were a terrorist.
And what, you don't want to hear Melikaliki Maka on Christmas? Like, that's canon, girl. Yeah. I don't care if it's 4 years old. That's already canon.
Yeah, it is. It is. Shame on her. And I'll bet she listened to it in 2014 and all the years beyond and fucking rocked
and
it.
And rocked it.
Yeah.
I know.
It was just that year. Everyone had a little bit of the malaise. We all get it.
It's 2013.
I get it. I graduated from college that year. It was very confusing.
Me too.
You know, anyway, I was at your graduation.
Yeah.
You didn't come to mine.
Yeah.
Little bitch.
All right.
It's because I'm gay, Brian. Which brings us to
you
our final.
You can only take that so far, goddammit.
But our final segment would be...
I don't
want
to go to a bigoted city like Austin, Texas. Ooh, heebie-jeebies.
I mean, compared to LA and New York,
all that
though.
Live music and barbecue.
Yeah.
I don't even think Austin's gay at this point. They're fully trans.
They're fully, like, they're technocratically like, trans.
I mean, is that... Yeah, I don't even know what's... at the end of the gay spectrum, it's probably not even trans. But they're it, honey.
They're a bunch of, like, tech queers.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hate that idea.
I know. But it exists and it is alive and well in Austin, Texas.
Last time I was in Austin, one of my Grindr hookups had like this giant loft.
Uh-huh.
Like near like Guadalupe. And I was like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. It's like, why does this look like Tribeca?
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been back since. not
that was over 10 years ago. You ain't been in Austin in a minute.
I know.
But the final item is the gay item
of the week. We never sung that in our lives.
Yeah.
And you could tell, honey.
We have a new theme song, though.
Brian loves to hear about all the gay shit that's going on in the
culture.
I'm such
a code switcher. I'm such an appropriating code switch in a little bit.
I know. And yeah. you got to tread carefully. Because I could do the voice, but then you start moving your wrists and everything. And I'm like, Brian, don't make a minstrel.
What the fuck are you talking about, silly? I don't care. I don't know what you're
the
saying.
The Al Jolson of the gay community
what,
over
me?
Here.
Moi?
The yeah singer. Get it? Al Jolson. Little Al Jolson joke for our last remaining
all
great
right,
generation
Julian.
Listeners.
All right, so look, back in the day when I asked Julian for a gay item of the week, I... Oh, what's that? Oh, thanks,
oh,
Trina.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yay.
Trina, God bless her, showed me her iPhone from 10
with the smallest text.
And I was like, speaking of the greatest generation, like, homie, I'm going to need that to be macro.
Yeah, I was like, okay, we officially aged that I cannot read that from that distance. But thank you, Trina. So we can party a little later.
But we were talking about gay shit.
Yeah.
Speaking of partying a little later, which
it
the
is
gays
the,
do.
It's the... gay item of the week.
Oh my god, like it's nails just, on a chalkboard. But this isn't a fun... Oh, also, Brian once upon a time asked me to bring in a gay item of the week, and I thought he meant a physical item.
I meant a news item. Duh.
My dumb ass thought he meant a physical item, so ever since then, I've honored my confusion and brought in a hard object. You want to see this week's hard object, Brian?
I think I'm looking at it.
The gay item of the week is an inflatable flower koozie.
Can I see it?
The gay item of the
can
week
I officially
is
use it?
An inflatable, you certainly can.
I wonder if I can drink it just
speaking
by
of Austin
koozie.
this would slay at Barton Springs. Oh my god. And oh, not yeah. And not a drop was spilled.
No, this is very effective. This would kill in Barton Springs. This would kill in any literally any facet
any body of water
of Austin existence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is made for this kind of pool toy. Austin is a pool toy city. And this is just the latest
like
in
Palm
pool
Springs
toy technology.
Vietnam is to Cuba as Austin is to Palm Springs.
Sister cities. That's funny.
Enjoy it for now. That goes right back to my bedroom next to my bed. Who's
unlike
bed
your DVD
matches.
Of Female Trouble, which I still need to watch.
I know.
And is at my house.
I know. But I stole that from a catering gig. steal. I mean, he was actually like keeping inventory of inflatable koozies. But it's so cute. You think so?
And
there you go with that finance brain of yours already.
There's no finance. I'm just literally like, maybe someone is. And you're just like, Brian, you're such a banker.
Damn. No.
Keep going. Okay, so this is a physical item.
That's
and
physical
I'm loving
item.
It.
So our news item is actually really morose and not at all this. There is
well, fuck not red, white, and royal blue like last week. That was fun.
No, that's already reached its saturation point.
We're gonna end it on
to
a
never
downer.
Talk about it okay. again. Right. Well, there could still be some fun had in this really sad. Well, I don't know. That's insensitive of me to say. The 29-year-old son of actor Rodolfo Sancho. His name is Daniel Sancho. He's a chef, kind of an influencer type, and he was vacationing with a Colombian plastic surgeon named Edwin Arieta.
This is already sketchy.
Who's 16 years his senior.
Mm-hmm.
The surgeon's 45 years old.
For a gay couple, that's like
that's
very
enough. That's
age
a week,
appropriate.
Honey. That's a
very
week.
Age appropriate couple.
but the surgeon's remains were found in Thailand.
Mm.
They were both there together vacationing. So you could start to piece together why this was the gay news item of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Human remains were found in fertilizer bags.
Are either of these guys out?
No.
Oh,
so Daniel was detained and confessed to the crime, attributing it to jealousy issues, claiming that while he was guilty, he was also a hostage to the surgeon, with the surgeon forcing him to do things he didn't feel comfortable with, and that Edwin, the surgeon, would isolate him from other people and kept him in a crystal cage, which goals, like, I don't think he meant a literal crystal cage. I've literally told both my parents, I'm like, I'm looking for a sugar daddy. They're like, don't look for it. But the idea of a crystal cage.
But not a sugar daddy where you end up with like your head in a box somewhere.
Well, the sugar daddy would end up with his head in the box. Yeah. I wouldn't.
Well, either way, someone's head is ending up in a box, and that's one too many heads and boxes for my taste. Whether it's mine, because did it work
your
out for this
Libra
guy?
Moon right now did, is on full
showing.
Display.
I get it. But
balance and justice.
But does this guy look like, you know, he's not the one who died, but it doesn't look like things are going to go amazing for him. He's in cuffs.
Yeah, and man, Thai prisons, forget about it. I bet that shit's pretty gnarly.
Not Swedish prisons, that's for sure.
And you got to
finger painting in there.
But you got to wonder how much clout his dad has in
Thailand. Probably get a very minimal sentence.
Yeah, you would think
for
so.
For murder.
Only because he's a public person. Whereas, like, if my ass went to Thai jail, which is why I haven't been to Bangkok yet.
Because I will go to jail.
It'd be over for this hoe, dude. It'd be man on fire. Yeah, I'd be Dakota Fanning and man on fire. And you'd be my Denzel.
I'd have to be goddamn Denzel again. Fucking.
But my dad would be Mark Anthony? Oh, my God. Kind of a Guantanamo Bay. What did we call those? A Puerto Rican?
San Juan Sisters.
A San Juan Sister? Yeah. Mark Anthony's a San Juan.
A Boricua Bay or a San Juan Sister.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So I don't know what your thoughts are on this, but he admitted to it, which is noble.
Wow.
Which is noble. Mm. I'm like, that's how I know he's gay. He's like, oh my God, sawing through that joint was horrible.
Okay,
like,
okay. Here's where, like, I don't know what to believe or what not to believe. So he's probably admitting it because he can get away with, like, a potential self-defense argument. I think this fucker wanted to kill someone. Because if you are being held hostage, I don't know if your immediate next move is to chop someone up, like, immediately.
Well,
even if they tried to harm
him. I don't think he was, like, literally held hostage, right? Like, and that's, of course, now we're getting into, like, arbitrating what is, like, valid abuse and stuff, which is tricky. Mm-hmm. But, like, I think he was, like, being wined and dined around the world.
Do we have the qualifications?
I think it was, like, we're going to Thailand, like, me and my man.
Right, right. But he was, like, kept in a crystal cage or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, but then killed his captor. Like, so if you're being kept in a crystal cage, I think once you escape, you leave. Like, you get out of there. I don't know if your next step is to immediately decapitate and mutilate your captor.
You say the makings were already there because he's a homicidal person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, once... And so if you are well-connected so-and-so, maybe you have some form of diplomatic... Not diplomatic immunity, obviously, because he got arrested, but you have some form of, like, diplomatic cachet that you could use to say, like, oh, this, I did kill this person, but it was entirely in self-defense.
And yeah, then it happened. Would be like a gunshot. It wouldn't be like, and I sawed through all of his joints for hours on end with
yeah.
a tarp.
So this doesn't pass the smell test to me.
Yeah, because why go through all that effort and then come clean?
Because this was planned all along, including the confession.
Right.
He wanted to shoot a man in Reno just to watch him die, or the Bangkok.
Oh, and now retroactively, he's like, what? It was self-defense.
Exactly.
He was just enjoying the process of, yeah, being all saw about it.
Because I think he's such a privileged little shit. He's one of those guys who's like, well, I've done everything in this world except kill a man. So sure. I think it's my time to do that. And, well, went in Thailand, .. And now that I'm back, I'm like, oh, he was so abusive. And, no,
what do you mean back? He's still in Thailand saying this.
Oh, he got arrested in Thailand?
Yeah, dude. That's why I'm saying Thai prison.
Well, fuck me sideways.
I don't know, you understand what it's like to be a gay guy.
Say this is the gay... Brian, welcome to one day in my
you
shoes.
Heard it here, folks. Brian wants to be fucked sideways by a cock.
By a doctor in Thailand. So I can, I don't know, play a game of Hostel. Like, I don't know what... This is sad. This is sad and
well,
dark.
Brian, just fixate on that little floaty koozie I brought you. That floaty flower koozie.
This I like.
That I like is fucking sad.
Much. Yeah. Oh, there it is. All right. We got notes from our
Come
producer.
On, Brian. Get it up. You're like, this never happens.
First time I've heard that.
this was a fun one. I don't know where to go from here. Oh, we could promote our fucking podcast that we're doing right now. We're on TikTok.
Oh God! Do we go? We want to go. We want to start with TikTok. We go straight there.
Why not? Why wouldn't we?
I don't know.
GB Pod on TikTok.
GB Pod on TikTok. Guantanamo Bay is on Spotify, where you're probably listening. But please, guys, ladies, gentlemen, namaste, caballeros, everyone in between, rate, like, subscribe, follow us on Instagram. Guantanamo Bay's Pod on Instagram. GB Pod on TikTok. I'm doing a stand-up show in Santa Barbara tomorrow. this episode won't be out by then, but just know it happened and I was great.
Oh, you know what? Now that we're doing that, I have an improv show tomorrow at 9:30. Oh, also there's
this
one coming up.
This will not be released in time.
Oh.
But Julian was great.
But also, September 15th. I'm going to pull up the specifics, but I'm pretty sure it's at 8:30 at the Impro in East Hollywood.
We will have a couple
episodes 9:30, September 15th. Just put it on your planners now. If they're anything like me, they got to put it on their planners ahead of time. You know that about me, Brian.
I know.
This Social Butterflies calendar is full. My dance card is stamped.
And, also, while we're at Deaf Noodles, we this episode will be released in time.
Oh.
This Sunday, August 27th, we are hosting our first banter show.
Ooh.
It is a stand-up show formatted like a talk show a la, Johnny Carson. We did one at Genghis Cohen in West Hollywood. That was great. Deaf Noodles is giving us a date here for the banter show. So I'd love to do it at both locations. It's going to be this Sunday at 7. Tickets will be in my Instagram at Brian Bogart on Instagram. That's Brian with an I dot Bogart. You are Jules Goza, JULZGOZA.
He remembered.
On Instagram. We are the Guantanamo Bay's podcast. Thank you. And hasta la próxima.
Hasta luego. Nos vemos.